佢掹槍啊！佢掹槍！喂喂喂喂喂！哇哇哇哇哇！
They are going to ditch one country, two system, effectively, though they maintain that phrase, but in effect, it's all-encompassing governing from Beijing.
Daniel Lee is angry. Angry at what is happening in his hometown. The 38-year-old is one of the few remaining independent booksellers and publishers in the former British colony of Hong Kong. Now, police helicopters circle the city every day. Armoured riot police trucks drive up and down the streets, and demonstrators are beaten and have even been shot by task forces. For the 7 million people that live in this East Asian metropolis, everything is at stake, says Daniel Lee. Freedom or dictatorship, independence or subordination to a life determined by the authorities in Beijing. He describes the Communist Party of China's stronghold on Hong Kong as like that of a tyrannical octopus, its many tentacles interfering in everyday life. He says the city's government, with Carrie Lam as chief executive, is nothing more than a puppet for the CCP.
The government is trying to pass the extradition law a few months ago. Due to mass social mobilization, they finally backed down, but over the course they have resorted to police violence and they break rule of law in every way. So the problem now is not only the extradition law, though the law has a lot to do with the publishing and bookselling scene to start with, because 3 years ago what we faced is booksellers and publishers being kidnapped by the Chinese authority, brought back to China, face unfair trial. By that law, they might make it legal in a way that the Chinese authority are free to order the Hong Kong police to arrest people. But since the law has already retracted, the situation is not any better though, because what we face is another kind of oppression. And there's no way that the people are backing down from that kind of oppression and an enclosure. So we regularly have social movements on streets, not only on weekends, but also weekdays.
Barely visible among the sea of bright lights inside Yung Choy Street is a small doorway leading to a narrow staircase. Seven floors up the dilapidated apartment block lies Lee's bookstore, called Hong Kong Reader. Daniel Lee's shop is reminiscent of an alternative bookstore from the 1970s. The shelves stand close together in its 80 square metre space. To the left of the entrance door is the counter with the cash register. Behind it, a raised platform with a sofa, tables and chairs. There's coffee for visitors. His tomcat, Wei Wei, looks out of the window. Daniel Lee, who has a degree in philosophy, describes how Hong Kong's cultural scene is involved in the ongoing protests.
The protests would be very different without all these involvements. One of the most significant involvement of the cultural scene is that many people design and create their own promotional material for the protest and the movement. One of the most important scene is the Lenin Wars, because many different people have printed out, for example, schedules, printed out news, and stick them on walls in places where most people pass by, and they form very beautiful scene, if you ask me. These materials, they also shows what has happened, because the general media, the mainstream media, has been known to have very biased coverage of the protests, because many of them are Chinese-sponsored or belong to Chinese company. So people try to show the story, or to show the facts to people around, so they put up these materials which shows the facts. And also there are materials who urge people to persist for the movement, to go to specific dates of rallyings. There are also personal stories sharing, where it talks about how protesters endure the police brutality. Police are known to arrest people in the hospital, even arresting the injured. that is against privacy to start with, and people are trying to let the public know about all these things on the Lenin walls.
Lee says it's an asymmetrical conflict. Initially, the movement, as the protest is called in Hong Kong's cultural scene, confronted the government with mere pinpricks, peacefully blockading roads and the airport. Highly armed forces responded with tear gas, rubber bullets and batons.
The Hong Kong protest has known to be peaceful for a very long time. There are footages of people joining peaceful protest. But things started to go out of hand as the police starts to resort to violence. They use tear gas, they use baton against people to disperse. It's known that people are bone fractured when the police beat the protesters. The riot police are full gear. It's very difficult for the people to hurt them. And as things escalate, we see shootings.
As well as direct confrontation with government forces on the street, the cultural scene has its own way of dealing with repression. Artistically distorted screenshots of the protests, faceless demonstrators, comics in which even the dogs crouch with tears in their eyes in front of their owners that wear gas masks. A solidarity movement has also emerged, and the Hong Kong Reader is part of it.
There is this general mood in the society or campaign for shops which are in support of the movement. We call them the yellow shops because yellow is the color of the movement. So there are many shops that are called the yellow shops. They don't really sell things differently. They are just, for example, restaurants, bookshops, cafes. But these shops, they might have opened during protests. They house people when police beat people up. So these shops, they are openly supportive to the movement. Many protesters and people would like to support these shops because some of these shops might face threats. We have a lot of debates on social media on how do we recognize some as pro-movement or against the movement. But most of the time it comes down to what the owner would say on social media. Many of them actually declare their support for the movement very early on. And I'd say that many shops which are openly supportive of the movement has quite good business, actually, because most people in Hong Kong would like to support them. And our store, I'd say, is on the pro-movement side in many people's eyes, I think, because we keep on opening to late hours, even the protest is going on. So people are very supportive of us. And also during this time of unrest, many people would read more books, to read about violence, to read about authoritarian rule, totalitarianism. One of the bestsellers during this time is On Tyranny.
On Tyranny was written by the renowned US historian Timothy Snyder, a professor of history at Yale University. In his provocative writing, he advocates for the power of the printed word, the strategic use of it, and for the value of language in freedom fighting. Quote, "Free yourself from the internet. Read books," unquote. On Tyranny is available in Hong Kong in English and in a Cantonese translation. Daniel Lee says he's still getting all the book titles he wants to sell in his bookshop, but that could soon prove a challenge. Hong Kong's book market is controlled by three major chains. They're owned by Sino-United Publishing, which is controlled by the Chinese government. Many Hong Kong-based authors accuse them of censorship.
Authors told me that their books are not able to go on shelf in these giant chain bookstores on commercial reasons most of the time, but we see a consistency in that because all these books are on politics, many of them on Chinese politics, some of them on Hong Kong politics. So I'd say it's very consistent. And before the movement, there's also a new situation because the joint logistic company is actually moving their warehouse from Hong Kong to mainland. So the effect is that for every time they ship the books to store, they need to pass through the border because the warehouse is now in mainland. and they actually issued a letter to publishers saying that they would not be responsible for books being held up on the border.
The risk of exporting books to mainland China had also increased. In light of these circumstances, it's a miracle that Daniel Lee's alternative bookstore still exists.
Before the movement, we have more customers from the mainland. For example, 10 to 20% of our customers were from the mainland. But that has changed after the movement started because many mainlanders would see that Hong Kong is unsafe, so they might not be able to come. To my knowledge, when the mainlanders pass through the border, they also face stricter censorship. So many mainlanders would refrain from coming to Hong Kong or buying books in Hong Kong. But on the other hand, we see an increase of sales. So that is the local readers who make up for the difference. I think contrary to some people's expectation, actually more people would like to read in time of turmoil. People would like to read more, to learn more about politics, about the social situation and the like. I think Hong Kong people have been quite awake for a very long time. We have been awake for at least 5 to 10 years. But it's finally that we find the strength and we find connection between people that we start to come out on streets and to insist on democracy and freedom, finally. It has always been in our hearts, but it's finally time that we see that it's not only, well, it's solidarity. We are not the only ones. We have the whole society with us. We see that Hong Kong people as a whole is willing to fight. And that is actually very inspiring for every one of us who is in the movement.
Lee is also fearful that they're fighting a losing battle. He says China's dominance is too great. Many Hong Kongers consider it a bad omen that this threat to their independence is occurring exactly 30 years after the Tiananmen Square massacre in Beijing. Daniel Lee is certainly not kidding himself about the future.
I am kind of pessimistic. I think the oppression will only upscale. We might not enjoy the same kind of freedom that we have right now. Freedom of speech, they would try to control the internet, try to control publication. Many internet media, web media will be closed down. Government officials would go into schools and ensure materials and syllabus comply with the government's line. It would be more and more coming close to being the mainland. Socially, I think the resistance would go on. Maybe we don't get to sell all the books we want to sell. Books may not be accessible to us.
The people in Hong Kong won't give up. Daniel Lee is sure of that. And independent booksellers like him will insist on selling books free of censorship. For Lee, it's a matter of life or death.
As long as we don't have democracy, the movement will suddenly go on. It would always last until we get what we want or they kill us all.